This is Fresh Air. Olga Andreyev-Carlyle is from a prominent Russian literary family, but for most of her life she was not allowed into Russia. Her grandfather was the famous writer Leonid Andreyev. Her parents were exiles, and she grew up in a suburb of Paris. In the early 60s, the family was allowed to visit Russia. On her visits, Carlyle became involved with dissident writers. In 1967, Alexander Solzhenitsyn asked her to get his book, The First Circle, translated and published in the West. She did, and later did the same for the Gulag Archipelago. After the manuscripts were smuggled out of Russia, she spent years working on them in secrecy. Her support of dissident writers got her banned from the Soviet Union for over 20 years. She returned in 1989 during the period of Glasnost. Her return is the subject of her new memoir, Under a New Sky. Earlier today, I asked her about her hopes for Russia as it endures yet another crisis.
Well, as of this morning, I have become somewhat more optimistic. Reading in the New York Times the various statistics of the polls that have been taken, that were taken, I think, probably yesterday, the popular backing for Yeltsin remains relatively important. And it's just clear from those statistics that manipulative as those parliamentaries may be, they have a very minimal backing. And I think they have gotten as arrogant as they have because they have had the covert support of the Communist Party, which, as we know, has kept a tremendous amount of money in its pockets. So in that sense, especially if there is a prospect of new elections, which Yeltsin is very likely to win, I'm rather reassured.
You're hoping Yeltsin stays in power?
Yes, yes. And I think that every month that he stays in power sort of solidifies the reform program there. He may not stay forever. But he could only really be displaced if the elections actually take place by the popular backing of someone else. And that someone else has not yet appeared. Kasbulatov has only apparently 7 or 8% of the popular vote. In other words, he's very much disliked. So this increases the chances of Yeltsin to stay on. And personally, considering the very difficult situation in which Russia has found itself, my estimation is that Yeltsin has really done as well as possible.
You grew up in exile. Your parents were exiled. You grew up in a suburb of Paris. What was your image of Russia growing up in a family of exiles?
Well, it seemed to be under another sky. It was another world. We were so cut off. There were no communications with anyone in Russia. So it seemed like a very, very distant and desirable country.
When you started going to Russia in the 1960s, what did the dissident writers there hope that you could do for them?
At the very beginning, there wasn't even a dissent. There were just a group of younger and older people who wanted to, a democratic process eventually to start in Russia. And they figured out, quite rightly, that exposure in the West would help them. It was a very successful step on their part. They became dissidents, or some of them became dissidents, only after Khrushchev's fall.
When Solzhenitsyn asked you to take his novel and get it published in the West, and the novel was The Secret Circle, why did you say yes? You knew you would be leaving yourself open to risk.
Well, I felt that it was really my obligation as a Russian in the particular situation, in my particular situation with a husband who knew all about publishing and parents who could, guide me in the deciphering some of the Russian aspects of this work, it was really my obligation to help a man who was bent at that time on making the excesses of the Soviet regime, past and present, better known in the West. And this could be done, and it was done, without, actual risk to anyone. We were terribly lucky. No one was ever arrested on our account. So this was a kind of obligation that I felt I should fulfill, and I certainly do not regret it.
Did it change every aspect of your life? You write about how you had to learn to walk in Russia without calling attention to yourself, because anything that called attention to yourself could betray the secret.
Well, it changed our lives, that of my husband and my own, dramatically for about five to seven years. I had a excellent career as a journalist reporting on Russian affairs. And from the moment I took on Solzhenitsyn's mission, I could no longer really write very much on Russian affairs. I did write quite a lot for Vogue magazine at that time, and I wrote a book about my childhood, but I could not write anything that would bring any kind of attention to myself as a political person. And that really had been, in some ways, my principal role. So that was a great change. And the other thing was that we had to lead a life of secrecy, which was rather unpleasant. We couldn't share with our neighbors how we spend most of our time. And because, had we been found out by the KGB, it would have been absolutely disastrous for Solzhenitsyn and my own family and his. It lasted a long time. As far as I'm concerned, it lasted about 7 years.
My guest is Olga Andreyev-Carlyle. She's written a new memoir about her return to Russia after being banned for 20 years. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Olga Andreyev-Carlyle, author of the new memoir, Under a New Sky, A Reunion with Russia. When you took the manuscript for Solzhenitsyn's The Secret Circle back to America, Can I ask how you got it to the States?
The Secret Circle was brought out by my father in 1965 in the pockets of his trench coat. The instructions for Solzhenitsyn at that time were just to keep the book safely in case he was arrested. 2 years later, in 1967, when I went to Russia, I met with him personally. At that time, he asked me to turn to my father, obtain the manuscript, and start its translation and publication. In fact, I stopped in Geneva, where my parents lived, on my way home, and I collected those films which he had brought out.
And what about the Gulag Archipelago, which you also brought to the West? How was that manuscript taken out?
That was brought out by my brother, who now lives in Paris, Alexander Andreyev. He worked for UNESCO at that time and was in Moscow for a conference. And he hid the manuscripts in some part of electronic equipment having to do with his work. He's a simultaneous translator. And that, in some way, demanded even more courage, because my father was sort of doing it individually. My brother had no choice but to use the, UNESCO equipment to get those things out. And because by that time there were searching pockets, my father in 1965 was fairly, relatively tranquil. But by 68, 8 when my brother brought out the Gulag. It had become very dangerous.
You had a terrible falling out with Solzhenitsyn, and he accused you of holding up the publication of his manuscript and being therefore responsible for suffering that he endured. And you describe all of this in your book, Solzhenitsyn in the Secret Circle, and talk about how you think, you know, he had become, well, kind of paranoid, really. What kinds of changes did you see in his personality over the years?
Well, he, was under such stress writing those important books that his personality, you know, was really transformed. He became a somewhat autocratic, opinionated person. And of course, the West offered him a vast audience and listened to him and still does very carefully. So this somehow turned him into a more and more autocratic personality. But I think there was also an intellectual evolution. He has come to believe that an authoritarian regime is better for Russia than attempts at democracy. Lately, he has backed Yeltsin, but very gingerly, and only on the grounds that Yeltsin represents a central executive power, which to him seems preferable than a, you know, than a splintered parliament.
You came of age when literature was considered very powerful and very dangerous in Russia. Did that make literature even more interesting to you?
Yes, I think, you know, I think that it really does add a great kind of sense of urgency to literary pursuits. I'm a painter by profession, and I really like to believe in, you know, pure art that is done for pleasure, such as the art of Matisse that we all have, you know, recently admired in New York so much. But in the context of Russian affairs, to have it also, you know, serve what essentially is a humanitarian role is, of course, very exciting and satisfactory. And a lot of people have perished in Russia. God knows that I was never in any danger, but lots of people have perished defending, you know, freedom through art. It's a Russian avocation.
When you returned to the Soviet Union in 1989 and after, did literature seem as important there as it used to be?
Yes, it was still very important, especially in 89. I'll tell you about 90 in a moment. In 89, people like Akhmatova were recognized, and it was a kind of, and a lot of forbidden literature like Nabokov were being rediscovered. So it was a kind of apotheosis of poetry as politics, just, you know, being celebrated that year. In 90, only, you know, a few months later, when I taught at the Russian Literary Institute, which is their creative writing school, their main creative writing school in Russia, it no longer was as exhilarating. Felt that the young people maybe did not know exactly what to say, what language to use, and also what themes to write about. I mean, this is very understandable. There is a kind of a reappraisal. But they were still very passionate about literature.
When you were in Russia in the 1960s working with dissident writers, you wrote that you were thinking of the younger intellectuals in Russia who were shaped by lifetimes of isolation and anger, intellectuals who would not hear points of view other than their own, which they felt were sanctified by their suffering. How do you think things have changed for intellectuals for Russia now, having the chance to read more points of view from the outside world?
Well, the truly talented people are probably exhilarated, but the people who use literature as career for purposes of career and security definitely feel disempowered. There is a tremendous shift in that respect in Russian letters.
Olga Andreev-Carlyle is the author of the new memoir, Under a New Sky, A Reunion with Russia.